population, it was in the 700s.
Yeah, it's a small town.
It's a very small town.
But it is home to a vintage car racetrack.
It was a cool date.
If I never see another race car in my life, it will be too soon. And I was like, Tia.
Ari likes to drive. He's car guy.
We have established that. Show him something about yourself. I want to know what Tia does.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Wow. So last night was incredible. Like, the chemistry was jumping off screen. I really felt like for the first time in a while, like I was watching a true love story unfold in front of my eyes.
Claire, just to be clear, this podcast is still about The Bachelor. As much as I'd like to, we can't just turn this into an ice dancing fan cast.
All I'm saying is I tuned in last night hoping to see a smoking hot romance, and Tessa and Scott gave it to me.
I mean, obviously, I completely agree. I refuse to believe that they're not secretly in love. But unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, we have to talk about Ari's hometown dates, which were a little less Moulin Rouge. We already went to Moulin Rouge. And we're going to go through this recap like two ice dancers, alone together on the ice.
But more like the Shib Sibs than Tessa and Scott.
Yes, true. Our guest fell through this week. Sorry, guys.
But first, a little business. We're going to South by Southwest.
Yay! We're going to be doing a live podcast on Saturday, March 10th at 5 p.m. There will be some special guests, and we'll be going over this crazy season and the whole world of the Bachelor franchise.
So if you're going to be at South by Southwest...
in Austin.
Yes. My first time going to Austin.
Same.
I'm really excited. Come join us. If you have questions for us to discuss, shoot us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. And if you can't make it to the live taping, we will be running the session as a podcast afterwards. So more bonus content.
Yeah. Here to Make Friends live.
Live.
Yeah, it's not our usual mode, but I feel like we're going
to
be natural.
Yeah, we do have faces for radio, but we'll also try to have faces for a panel.
Yeah, and as we sometimes hear, we have voices for not being on the radio, and yet here we are. All right, so let's do hometowns. Kendall's up first.
Taxidermy.
This is the taxidermy date.
Quirky.
What season was it? Was it Rachel's season when the guys had to have a discussion about what quirky versus quirky meant?
I don't remember, but that sounds extremely familiar.
There's something about the show that guys really struggle with the word quirky, and yet they just long to use it. They can't think of another term. Try whimsical. Like, I don't know. Eccentric. Might be easier to pronounce.
Eccentric feels less complimentary, though. And I think what Ari was trying to get at here is that Kendall is very hot and cool, but has one unconventional interest.
At least one unconventional interest.
One.
She also likes eating bugs, so two.
That's true, two. Two unconventional interests.
We see it. So she takes him to a storage unit full of taxidermy. That, I think, is where we saw her in her intro package. And I'm sort of thinking she just has a storage unit full of taxidermy.
Or is this like a studio where these kind of things... I don't know. I have a lot of questions about the space.
I wish there
would have been, you know, more details, more context. But I feel like this was one of the first times I, like, really related to Ari. I really felt for him because he had just an abject look of horror on his face when Kendall says, we're going to taxidermy rats right now, which is a true nightmare for me.
But
so I related.
Little soft, like, little rat pelts. It looks so
I know,
cute.
And he really took it on like a champ. It ended up being super cute, and even my rat and mice phobic self was able to watch. But seeing their... skins and tails laying
those
there.
Cute little tails.
No, Claire.
I've been
no.
in a long-running sort of feud with Emma, and I are on the same team at work, and there's a long-running feud between me and everyone else on the team about whether rodents are cute.
They're horrifying.
They're cute.
I hate their movements. I mean, I'm shuddering right now. Wow. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you never got to meet my hamster, Ginger.
I'm okay with hamsters
she
for some
adorable.
Reason. Hamsters are fine.
They don't have tails.
No. I've been in a New York apartment that had mice. There are rats all over the subway. I can't.
Yeah. Well,
I hate them.
Once I had mice in my apartment, and I was sort of like, you know, I feel comforted knowing that there are little furry creatures in here with me.
And now you have a cat who will just kill them all.
Yeah. So I guess I don't love them that much. anyway, I sort of felt like you could definitely see that this relationship is doomed during the taxidermy portion, even though he was such a good sport about it, because Kendall was so clear that, like, most guys can't handle this interest of hers. She's hoping that Ari will be different. And looking at Ari throughout this, I was like, no, Ari is not that guy. Ari's not the guy who's going to be like, no, let's do taxidermy together. Decorate our house in your taxidermy. Ari's the guy who's like, I'm going to be cool about this for one afternoon because I think you're hot and cool, but this is not going to be my life.
Which, fair enough.
It's totally fair. But I was like, Kendall, why do you think that Ari is going to... Can you not see in his eyes that he desperately wants to run far away and take a shower?
It was good television, though. And then they go and meet her family. And we find out that she has a twin sister named Kylie.
They are older
they're
than
the Jenners.
They're
before the Jenners, but it's an amazing coincidence.
It really is. I love seeing Kendall and Kylie together because they are just like two sides of the same coin. They look so similar, and they have a very similar cadence in their speech.
They're both so stunning to watch and listen to.
But
the cadence
Kendall
is very pleasing.
Kendall has this very naturalistic, like, hippie-ish vibe, and her sister is wearing, like, red lipstick, straight hair,
an amazing
kimono.
Oh, was that a kimono? It was a great outfit.
Yeah, so they
speak in the same way, though.
They
both talk about energies and openness or shutting down. They're both incredibly observant.
It's very much like if you were casting or creating a teen vampire soap opera and you were like, we want to have the light and dark vampire sisters, you know. But, I mean, both very beautiful and seemingly very, her sister also seemed really sweet and supportive.
I was very into this family. And you could tell that the way that Kendall and Kylie speak and their brother Colton, which we didn't get to see too much of, but their parents also speak in really thoughtful ways. And you could sort of see where their personalities come from.
Yeah. You could really see where Kendall's whole approach to Crystal came from, because Kylie takes basically the same approach with Kendall of sort of posing these tough questions about where her motivations are really coming from, where her feelings really are, and then really listens to what Kendall says in response and then says, well, if that's how you feel, then here's what you should do moving forward.
It was extremely useful advice.
Yeah.
She essentially tells her that she noticed space between Kendall and Ari.
She leans really heavily on energy.
I'm here for it. tell me the vibes you got.
They were sitting, by the way, in a room full of bowls, like small bowls.
I didn't notice that.
Full of small objects, and I couldn't tell what they were. I was like, is this where she keeps all the glass eyes for her taxidermy?
See, this is why I need to watch the episodes twice. I often miss these background details.
It's one of those things like that psychological study where if you tell people to focus on a certain part of a basketball game, they won't notice that a guy in a gorilla suit ran across the court halfway through. Like, you're really focused on the conversation. And then at a certain point, I'm just like, wait, what are all these bowls? Why are there bowls everywhere? Why didn't I notice it earlier in this conversation? But yes, Kylie seems pretty skeptical of Ari's relationship with Kendall.
And yet really supportive of what Kendall wants. So she gives her the suggestion to open up about her feelings. If she's afraid of losing this guy, put it all on the line, which is pretty good advice.
Yeah. And so Kendall, at this point, she hasn't had a one-on-one date. She's the only one who hasn't told Ari, I am falling for you. And he actually tells her that he's falling for her, and she doesn't say it back. And she tells Kylie that, and Kylie says, you know, that really makes me nervous because it seems like if you felt sure about him,
you would have said this.
You would have known what to say in that moment. You wouldn't have.
I think she's right.
Yeah. But she does say, you know, if you really think that you feel it, and Kendall thinks that she does, then you need to tell him, or that's what's going to drive the wedge in your relationship.
Foreshadowing, perhaps?
Yeah. And Ari talks with her dad, and he's sort of like, I don't know about this. All the parents are sort of just like, I don't know about this process.
I want to give a shout out to, like, a blanket shout out to the parents on these hometowns. For the first time, we had every single conversation that we saw between the lead and a parent end with the parent saying, this isn't about me giving permission. This is about me trusting my daughter to make the decision that she wants. I may feel skeptical. At the end of the day, I trust her and trust her judgment, which was really nice.
It is nice. I have to say, I'm irritated that it still has to be said, like that Ari's still sitting down with these people in 2018 and asking for permission. And they're sort of like, I don't know, but like ultimately I do trust my daughter. And it's like, we wouldn't even be having to have this conversation if the roles are reversed.
Oh, I agree. But I think that unfortunately this show sort of sets them up to have that conversation. Like you can feel that the conventions of the show kind of demand it. I agree. It should go without saying. I mean, it's kind of absurd.
Yeah.
I also get the feeling just from the little bits, and these are the moments that I wish we did. I felt like I understood Ari a little bit better because I do get the sense that he's, you know, not super religious, not necessarily super traditional in this sense, which is kind of cool. Mm. And I felt from him that he wasn't even really interested in asking for blessings. And I wish he'd just said that to the camera.
Yeah, I wish that too.
There's a lot of things I wish.
Yeah.
about Ari.
Kylie also talks to Ari and she seems really surprised that he's looking for a proposal. Like, she really doesn't think that Kendall is at that place. And I think she's right, but
I guess we'll see it play out.
It's Kendall's decision. And her mom tells her, if you're around somebody and your heart opens, that's good. And if you're around them and your heart closes, then that's a concern. I was like, I can't argue with that.
And also, that is exactly how Kendall talks. So
yes.
It all makes sense.
So at the end, Kendall sits down with Ari and is like, I'm falling for you. And then they make out.
Obviously.
And he leaves. We kind of zip through these dates, to be honest. Then Tia hosts him next in Wiener, Arkansas.
Population, what did it say? It was in the 700s.
Yeah, it's a small town.
It's a very small town.
But it is home to a vintage car racetrack.
It was a cool date.
If I never see another race car in my life, it will be too soon.
I can't say I've ever had a real interest in
the minute that
racing.
She said, I wanted to make you feel comfortable. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't want to see another race car date. And that's of course that's. And I was like, Tia.
Ari likes to drive. He's car guy.
We have established that. Show him something about yourself. I want to know what Tia does. I want to know where Tia grew up. Take him around. I mean, I guess it's a very small town, but I was like, it just felt really,
it felt catering to him rather than what the purpose of these dates are, which is to actually introduce,
and I feel like
the
a
bachelor
lot of people,
to your life.
I feel like a lot of people get the vibe from Tia, and I have too, that she's very like, I'm not gonna do what you want me to do. Like, I'm my own woman and like I'm strong, but she consistently does seem to want to do what will make Ari happy, and rather than putting any sort of her own interests to the fore.
Right, which is an instinct that I can also relate to. And I think often, you know, you want to be the one who's making all the demands and drawing the lines and saying, this is who I am. And at the same time, when you really, really like someone, it's also really tempting to negotiate with yourself and say, well, what will make them feel the best? And at the end
That's
of the
true.
Day, that usually is your undoing.
And it's like I can't believe I'm doing this. There's a moment in How I Met Your Mother when the lead, Ted, is dating a woman and like he ends up getting engaged to her. And she's never seen Star Wars, and he's obsessed with Star Wars. So he makes her watch Star Wars, and she hates it. But she doesn't – she lies to him about it. And his friends are like, you hated it. Like, can you really go your whole life pretending that you love this movie that you hate for him? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, can you, though? Like, that's, you think you can now. Like, in the moment, you're like, sure, my whole life I can give up every, you know, Sunday afternoon to the church social if I love them enough to actually spend all my free evenings, you know, doing taxidermy together. But in
eventually,
reality,
that wears off. That initial drive to please another person so much wears off, and then you are left with a life with them.
And you're like, why don't, what about what I want? What about, and like, not that you have to share all the same interests, but like, you should know how you're going to negotiate the distance. And I think that's what the hometown date is actually for, is he's been picking the dates. He's been putting his interests forward. This is your chance to be like, here's what you need to incorporate from my life.
And to be clear, from everyone that we've interviewed who's been on a hometown date, the people on them do get to choose what they do.
Yeah.
They have a lot of say in planning it. So, you know, unlike some of the other dates.
So, like, don't be all, you know, oh, like, Kendall was straight up like, we're going to be doing taxidermy together, which I think Ari should be honest enough with himself to know he won't want to do that. But I wish Tia had been a little more straightforward.
I'm also a little sad. Per Instagram, both Tia and Raven posted a photo of Ari, Tia, Adam, and Raven. So clearly they did meet up with Raven at the hometown. I would have liked to see that.
I would have liked to see that. I wonder why they didn't show that.
I guess just for time. But that would have been, I don't know. I feel like Tia deserved a little more from her date, given that this was her send-off.
Yeah,
I would have liked to see that. Just a little bit of her personality, see her in an older friendship.
Yeah.
It would have been fun. And of course, I love Raven on my TV.
Cut the race car thing if you have to. No one needs to see Ari in a race car again. and I mean, maybe Tia just thinks he looks hot in race cars, which fine.
Fair.
So they're going to meet her parents, her brother, who is apparently very protective. When we see her family for the first time, I actually couldn't tell for a second which one was her brother and which one was her dad.
What? Claire.
I'm sorry. They look like they look like their brothers.
No, they don't.
She's a lot younger than him.
I think she is a lot younger, but her dad has, like, very gray hair. And
well, her brother's bald, so.
He did not look like her father.
I think he could definitely have been her father.
No.
He acted like her father. He actually takes Ari aside first, and just is like a bundle of coiled aggression this entire lead up to
the conversation.
He
did eventually soften, but you could feel like he had been sort of pumped up to, you know, make demands on Ari, ask him the tough questions. And he brought up the fact that Ari is known as the kissing bandit. And he's heard he's a playboy, which a few people, it makes me think that a bunch of these parents just went to Reality Steve and were like, who is this guy? And
I would.
And read about, like, oh, Jeff Holmes said that they used to pick up sorority girls. Like, that's, but then they had to couch the language. So instead framed it as like, you're a kissing bandit.
I hear that you like dating women.
Yeah.
How's that for you, buddy? And he says, I hope you can prove to me tonight that that's not who you are. And Ari's like, well, I didn't nickname myself. And I was like, well, that's not the problem with the nickname, Ari. But basically he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, whatever. But now I want to get married. So he doesn't, like, really deny it.
No. I think it's a fair question to ask someone that you're meeting for the first time and your daughter might get engaged to them or sister on national television to be like, hey, do you actually want to get married? I also think it's fair for Ari to be like, I had some years where I was fucking around and now I'm not. I mean, we do know that he was in, but we do know that for at least the year before he was cast, he was in a pretty serious relationship. So it's not like, I just want to be fair. Like, I don't think this behavior was, it's not flattering, but it also wasn't necessarily happening, you know, in the very lead up to the show.
Yeah. It was more public than most men's playboy behavior.
Yeah. Unfortunately, probably at least 70% of the men that come off of these shows have some fuckboy behaviors.
Yeah.
At least from,
that's a really,
from what we've heard.
That's really generous that you think it's only 70%.
More like 90. 95.
So Jason is basically, her brother is like, oh, well, I haven't been able to be there for her in the past, and I want to do that now. I had no idea what that meant. It seemed like he was alluding to something, but it never becomes clear.
From what her mom says as well, it seems like Tia was in some really damaging relationships.
Yeah, and she said that too. But Ari's like, I love her spirit. And Jason is like, great. I'm on board with you now.
You know, at least he has more than one word to describe her. So she,
yeah.
As far as I felt watching this, she was already coming out ahead.
It
does not, but.
Tia talks to her dad, who has also heard about Ari's. I just
ladies
imagine them all
man
gathered
way.
Around the computer, yeah. Like someone's phone, and being like, oh my God, sorority girls. And she's like, I'm not trying to pay attention to that. I just want to see him for who he is, which I get. But I'm also sort of like, that stuff is who he is, too. Like, I don't understand ignoring.
And also,
else.
Do you really know who someone is when you've spent?
Well, exactly.
Not that much.
That's
time
not
with
the
them.
Only yeah. way to know someone. Like, stuff that he's done in his past is also part of it. But Ari also tells her dad that he's not a playboy. And her dad said, well, like, having 25 girls to pick from, you're probably having a lot of fun. And he's like, oh, you'd think so, but it's actually very stressful.
I believe that.
I
thought that this was
too.
A moment where Ari showed a bit of genuine personality because he just answered so quickly, like, oh, no, I'm so stressed out.
It does seem really stressful.
And we did see him genuinely have a panic attack later in the episode. So
yeah,
maybe he needs to talk to the show therapist.
Yeah.
I would be calling up that therapist like every day.
I imagine him having therapy with the therapist from Burning Love. He's like, Ari, pick up that pillow. Now punch it. Punch the pillow. Now, do you want to just like dust off those blinds over there? If you guys haven't watched Burning Love, check it out.
It's delightful.
It's such a good parody of the franchise. And her dad says that Tia is still his little girl, even though she's 26, and she'll always be his little girl. And Ari says he would take good care of her. I think Ari's going to adopt Tia.
Yeah. This is... His paternal side continues to come out, which is never, never a good sign.
And then her dad says, if you hurt her, I can find you on Google. And they laugh and laugh, but also are serious.
But also I thought this was sort of the sweetest, most 2018 threat there's ever been on this show.
I don't believe in threats. I'm like, just don't do it. I don't know. If my dad did something like that, I would be like, stop.
Oh, I agree. To be clear, I think no one should be making threats on people's lives. Also, your daughter went on a show where, like, literally the premise is that
she will get hurt.
She will likely get hurt, and also that the lead will have to go to four hometowns. So,
yeah.
But, you know, instead of threatening to kill him, he threatened to Google him, which I thought was sort of funny.
Yeah. Well, I felt like the implied thing was then
I'll Google you and then kill you.
And then okay, come
yeah,
get
well.
You. Tia is like, listen, Ari, I'm in love with you now. And he says, I can't express my feelings.
Which we know is a lie because he told Lauren B that he's falling deeply in love with her last week. And at that point, I'm like, oop,
yep.
Not looking good for Tia.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more on the extremely bland hometown dates in a minute. And then he heads off to see Becca. Man, these hometown dates are just really pretty bland, to be honest.
There was no big drama. I kept waiting, and I was convinced it was going to be Lauren B's because that's how they were teasing it. And then even that one was pretty tame.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to speed through this. Yeah. We're going to have so much time for ice dancing at the end. and so they go to Minneapolis. That's where Becca's from.
They go apple picking. It looks extremely windy.
Yeah, and chilly. Like,
yeah.
They are not comfortable. But I loved it. It looked like they were on set of a Hallmark movie called like Harvest of Love or something. Not that I've seen any like that. I have seen some like that. They do all sorts of apple things. They pick them. They slingshot them.
The caramel apples looked really good.
Okay. I just want to say they cut to the cabin and are showing the cabin, but not Ari and Becca. And then you hear her say, "You're going to stick it all the way in." And then it cuts to them doing the caramel apple.
The editors having some fun.
Because it's so subtle. That, like, yeah, it doesn't seem too overtly like they're doing the
double entendre.
But
you just know someone in the back room is like, teehee.
Yeah. It's like, what are they doing in that cabin? Oh, they're making...
Sticking it in.
They're sticking the apple
into apples and caramel sauce.
Mm.
That looked pretty good, though. It made me want a caramel apple.
Yeah.
I also could tell that Ari felt so much more relaxed on this date than he did on the previous two. Do you disagree?
I think he felt relaxed in a way that makes me feel like he is evaluating Becca in a much different way. Like, I feel like his relationship with Becca is much more like, she fits into my life logically. She is, like, checking all the boxes that I need. But he's not, like, discomfited by his level of emotion for her.
Yes, I view his feelings with her as somewhere, in terms of intensity, somewhere in between Kendall and Tia and Lauren. I think he's the most obviously into Lauren to the point where he's anxious because of that. But in the first two dates, I felt like it felt sort of unnatural to him. He didn't feel comfortable in his own skin.
But what I thought was interesting was that he was willing to get really uncomfortable for Kendall. I don't think that makes them a good long-term match, and I think he knows that.
He's intrigued by her, and he's into that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to see her in the final two.
I don't think he's uncomfortable enough with Becca, because I think if you really are excited about someone and you're meeting their family and, like, you're considering proposing, he just seems really comfortable with what she brings to the table and is like, I could have that.
I agree with you. Agree with you. And that's why I still feel like he's probably going to go for Lauren.
Yeah.
But I do think that he sees a potential longevity with Becca, and he has like a vision in his mind, and he's like, that would be good.
Yeah. You see it go both ways in Bachelor history, where, like, they often have the impractical person that they're really excited about and the practical person they're less excited about. Sometimes they choose the practical person, sometimes the impractical person. Both times, almost 100% of the time, it doesn't work out. So what are we talking about? So Becca's dad passed away when she was 19, and so she tells him he'll be meeting her mom and also some extended family, some uncles.
Uncle Gary. The real star of this episode,
He is a pastor, and he is like a second father to her. And we actually cut then to her family waiting for them to arrive. And I've never seen such a, like, people look so miserable waiting for.
It made me really like them.
Yeah.
You just felt like these people have some good heads on their shoulders, and they are not into this. And they seem convinced that, like, our Becca is so level-headed, she would never consider just getting proposed to on national television.
We learn really...
Little do they know the power of the Bachelor bubble.
We learn a lot, usually at hometowns, about how little these parents actually know their children. They're like, she would never. Oh, she's definitely going to. Got it. Okay. And he is nervous to meet Uncle Gary. He asks Becca for advice on how to make that conversation go good.
Oh, God. This hurt my soul. The grammatical errors on this show just start getting really painful around this time.
I did feel him wince a little bit as he said that. And
he knew.
I want to give him.
I hope
so. I want to give him a break on that. So he meets the family. And his mom, or her mom, that I always do this a million times during hometowns. I mix up the pronouns. Becca's mom asks him how this experience was different from being on The Bachelorette. And I thought his response was kind of interesting, because obviously the answer is, I've had to open myself up to more women, and that actually is good because it means I'll be really sure and confident in my
choice. It was a good question. Becca's mom asked a lot of very pointed questions. I'm not saying that Ari answered them successfully, but they were good questions.
Well, I think he answered that honestly, but what I always find really revealing about that is that now her daughter is in that position, and he's saying that person, Becca in this case, is in not a great place to be sure and confident in their choice.
That's a good point.
But like for him to sort of implicitly admit that was surprising to me. And he says, in a way, it's really beautiful. And that's when like they cut to her Uncle Gary and his eyes are like twitching madly. So Uncle Gary immediately pulls him aside and starts monologuing about Becca's dad, who was a great guy, a great hunter, a great fisherman, the three qualities I look for in a man. And he also carved wooden ducks. So now we know everything we need to know about Becca's family.
We need nothing more. But it was really sweet to see.
It was a very emotional conversation.
Uncle Gary say, you know, I wish I wasn't the person here and I shouldn't be the person here.
Yeah.
You know, Becca's dad should be here.
And then he says Becca's uncles are her guard dogs. There's like a lot of we are the protective men.
There always is every time. And I think it didn't bother me as much because it was soft. It wasn't as intense as we've seen in the past. I think my my ability to sort of deal with it now. I've seen it so many times.
Well, I think they also all ended up being such pushovers that.
Right. It ultimately didn't come off as aggressive as it felt like it was going to in the beginning.
It was like they were guard dogs and then Ari just like offered them a bone. And they're like, fine.
Cool. Go, you can pass.
Come in. Take whatever you want from the house. We don't care anymore. So Ari is like, yes, I'm into Becca. I'm really considering her. And he says, well, what if Becca wants to go to church?
It's interesting because
I had no idea Becca was.
That's what I was going to say. And Ari says, we've discussed it,
which I'm
sure they have. But why wouldn't they show that? It has not even been implied that that's something that's important to Becca. And that just makes me feel like we haven't seen that many conversations between Ari and Becca.
Right. I tweeted last night. I kept forgetting she was here. That wasn't a slam on Becca. It's just her relationship with Ari doesn't really jump out. They don't have a particularly notable chemistry on screen. We don't see a lot of conversations between them. They're kind of like the backdrop relationship in a way, which maybe is a good thing. For them. I don't know. But I feel like we haven't seen enough of their connection at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Becca sits down with her mom and she says she wouldn't really be ready to give her approval for a proposal. Becca actually says, I told Ari that you would be the one to ask for approval because dad, you know, isn't here, which I thought was interesting. But this is the episode where everyone got asked for permission. I think at one point Lauren asked her aunt for permission. I was like, what's happening? But Becca really sells Ari. She thinks he's going to be a great father and partner, just like her father
was. And Ari
says
the same thing. Like, Becca would be a great mom.
Yeah.
Like, when was any of this discussed and what is this based
on? But again, I really feel like they're assessing each other in that very practical way.
Yeah.
And her mom says, well, I would be really grieved that you won't end up in Minnesota, which means they've also discussed that Becca would move to Scottsdale.
There's apparently so much we've missed. And you know what? I really don't want that for Becca.
I know, me neither. All that time in Scottsdale and apparently not even any golfing. I mean, what do you do? So Ari talks to her mom and she had just told Becca she wouldn't give approval for a proposal. But tells him, basically, it's Becca's choice and I would honor that. So that basically is approval or a blessing for a proposal. But in the meantime, she asks some good questions. She asks about committed relationships in his life and what he's learned from them. And he says his parents choose each other every day. And she's very impressed by that. And then he says something that I was really irritated by, actually. He's like, I know you have to, like, be with someone grounded that has a good family.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
What?
It was very, like, a very overt example of the thing he's kind of hinted at before, which is that it is, like, a flaw if your family isn't very traditional and stable and divorce-free and, you know.
Well, I guess all of these women do have stable nuclear families.
Which is great, but, like, I'm very troubled by the way that he seems to equate that with their
successful
individual worth.
Yeah, and an individual's ability to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, those things aren't necessarily correlated.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people who grow up.
We'd have to do some research on that.
They might be, but they're not necessarily
positive.
Always linked.
Right.
I think that there are plenty of people who grow up in quote unquote stable families who have a lot of trouble in relationships for whatever reason. And
just
also
look at me.
Vice versa.
I'm a mess. No, I mean, I think that
same.
It is just really disturbing to think that you could be rejected because your parents decided that they were better
apart.
Like, that seems really harsh and judgmental. And when it's framed in this way of like, well, Becca's a good family, it seems nice, but the message underneath that I didn't love. And Becca says goodbye to Ari. She says he's still blowing her mind and stealing pieces of her heart.
Intense statement.
Yeah. And then he goes to see Lauren's family in Virginia Beach. They go horseback riding on the beach. This actually does seem like something she's done before.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. I would love to just go horseback riding on the beach all the time as a hobby.
Yeah, it was really selling me on Virginia Beach.
Yeah. They climb up the stairs of a lighthouse to watch the sunset. So that he can cradle her body in his arms and massage her back for what felt like hours.
He was so much more physically intimate with her during this date, from what we saw, than anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, he is a toucher, and he cannot keep his hands off Lauren. And meanwhile, her family
is talking about how they're not sure if Ari realizes how conservative a family he's about to walk into.
Yeah.
Which immediately
we realize.
I'm like, just have my little, like, what do you exactly
do you
mean by that?
I mean,
we know what they mean because Lauren B's mother's Twitter feed is full of Fox News fueled conspiracy theories, but
yeah.
You know, no judgments on Lauren.
The visual of their home is just very amazing. It's like, there's so much blonde.
It's palatial,
and like beige,
too.
And, yeah, they have a very lovely home.
And so her aunt is there as well. Is her uncle there also?
I don't think
or
so.
Or just her aunt, parents?
Yeah. And I didn't write down which of her family was there.
Me either. It escaped me, apparently.
Sorry, guys. Ari is freaking out before they even walk in.
He's so nervous. What did she say that made him this nervous?
Right.
Or is this just of his own making?
Right, because either she said something that made him nervous. From what we saw of her predictions, it didn't seem any scarier, perhaps even less scary than what he heard from some of the other women going into it. But he seemed much more nervous, which just seemed like another indication that he is so much more like attached to that relationship.
It was also amazing because, of course, they do the awkward music and they seat them in the living room so that her family's all on one side and they are sitting together very distant. And it's just Ari's voiceover about how uncomfortable he is.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
done,
it
Bachelor.
It does seem very quiet. There's a lot of
awkward pauses.
They know that he was born in
the Netherlands.
And so they ask him to say, Lauren, you're beautiful in Dutch. And he does. And then they're all like, mm-hmm.
And then her father,
follow-ups to that.
Her father just proceeds to ask a few questions, which Ari doesn't necessarily give the answers that perhaps he was looking for. First, have you ever known anybody in a military family? Which he has not, apparently. And whether he plays golf, which he does not. her dad, you could just see the shock and disappointment on his face, especially about the golf more than the military family
thing. I feel
thing.
Like they were just like, here are some things about us that we can talk to Ari about. And then
they just all fail.
Struck out on every point. They were like, they even said, oh, but you live in Scottsdale and you never golf. And he was like, I'm too busy having dinner with my parents.
And racing.
And curating my collection of race helmets.
You know, I feel like if you're having a son-in-law who doesn't golf is a deal breaker, like that's maybe your cross to bear.
Yeah. Well, all that Greg does, you know, is golf with my dad, with his dad, with very small children who we think might one day date our future daughter. You know, it's important for male bonding, which is really more important ultimately than the relationship between a man and woman.
Obviously.
So he excuses himself at this point to wipe
to
his
dab
face
all the
off.
Sweat that has been forming all over his body.
I mean, apparently it's quite hot, but he keeps saying, like, the last time I was this nervous was when I raced in the Indy 500, which, given what we know about his poor track record, was probably quite nervous. So Lauren is talking to her aunt and saying they have something, like, special. And she thinks she can trust him. And she asks her aunt for her blessing on their...
Her aunt's like, yeah,
sure.
If you're into him.
Not really my problem, but okay. Meanwhile, Lauren's dad is talking with Ari.
Oh, God.
We prefaced this with a quote from her dad saying, I think Ari should be willing to protect my daughter with his life. And, like, if he doesn't, basically, I'll fucking kill him. And then immediately he turns out to be the biggest softie we have yet seen.
I know. And they kept playing this line in all the teasers to make it seem like her dad was going to be incredibly aggressive, which we have seen male family members on this show get real aggressive. Instead, Ari tells him one story and he's like, oh, that's so beautiful. You're so nice.
And
so great to have you.
It's like, so her dad is in the military and has flown fighter planes and is telling Ari what planes he's flown. And Ari says, well, I flew one once when I was on a USO tour in Iraq. And her dad is gobsmacked, maybe because Ari said he's never known anyone in a military family, when in fact he apparently has hung out with a bunch of actual soldiers, which seems a little confusing to me. But I thought her dad might be a little annoyed that he was drawing that, like, you're a fighter pilot.
No,
once I went over and, like, hung out and had fun.
And instead he seemed genuinely really, really grateful that Ari would have taken the time to
go speak to
these soldiers in Iraq. And suddenly he turned into this incredibly sweet, soft-spoken man.
Yeah. And then he's like, Lauren's smart. I'm not worried about her. Again,
a
Lauren
good answer.
Has been engaged twice, but it's not her dad's job to fix that problem she appears to have. Of continually getting engaged to people that maybe
you know what, but at least she's getting out of those engagements before they are legally binding. So
yeah, and never get married, guys. Like, just don't.
I mean,
do it.
That's how I feel. Just kidding.
So meanwhile, her mom sits down with Ari. She is far tougher on him than
yeah.
She has basically one expression this whole time, which is that she looks mildly nauseous.
She does not seem thrilled to be sitting down with this dude.
And Ari says a lot of the things that we have heard from him about Lauren already, which is that when he's having a bad day, he just feels comforted when he looks at her, which is revealing in a way that I don't think he realizes. He says he's falling in love with her. She says, well, what about these other women? Are you saying the same things to those families? And he's like, every relationship is different. I just have to compartmentalize.
Well, she asks directly if he compartmentalizes, and he says yes. And I understand why that concerns her, but I also think that's just part of
I would be concerned, too, because my thing is always, if you can act like I'm the only one and I'm not, then how will I ever know that you're not doing
And that is why you should never find love on The Bachelor.
I know. It's just something that I want to fall in love with someone who's a bad liar, someone who can't, like, juggle different relationships.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's way just, too paranoid.
Yeah. But finally, she says, you know, I trust Lauren. And she talks to Lauren. And both Lauren and Ari on this date tell their parents that they are very similar to each other, which is interesting because I think that shows a lot of self-awareness.
I think they are similar. And I'm equally kind of bored by both of them.
Yeah. Well, Lauren says, you know, we can be sitting in a room with 15 girls and I can know exactly what he's thinking. And I'm like, that's because you're both thinking, like, this is nice.
I'm laughing just in
Look
anticipation.
At that. My favorite color is blue. Like, you know what you're both thinking because you have the most obvious thoughts in the entire world. And then you say them to each other and you're like, oh, my God, you also think the light looks pretty on the water?
You know what? This might be a really great match.
I'm excited for the possibility that they could fall in love. But there's still three women and... Meanwhile, Lauren thinks that he wouldn't say I'm falling deeply in love with you if he was saying it to other girls. And it seems like she's right. He hasn't said that level of thing to any of the other women. He's yeah. only said, I'm falling for you. He hasn't said.
Deeply falling in love.
Yeah, she memorized that phrasing.
Guess you got to take what you can get.
And then Ari said he was falling deeply in love with me. I was like, yeah, I would definitely say that over and over to myself as I fell asleep. Lauren cries. And her mom says, I've never seen you and a guy look at each other that way. Again, Lauren has been engaged twice. And apparently
those were very unsuccessful relationships.
Yeah, apparently
should have ended earlier.
Has a much more excitement and chemistry with this guy she's known for 4 weeks. So time for the rose ceremony. We really did.
Which was honestly the most interesting part of this whole
episode.
Yeah,
they saved half an hour for it. And that's because there was a little bit of excitement. So
all of the women walk in looking stunning.
I feel like they coordinated their outfits because Becca was in, like, coral, Kendall was in bright blue, Tia was in white, and Lauren was in black. Like, they all had such different but sort of basic primary looks.
It was good.
Yeah. Also, poor Tia was in white.
Poor Tia. Oh, man, I really felt for her.
Yeah. And
Ari is losing his goddamn mind.
He says he thought he knew going into hometowns what he wanted to do. Which I thought was sort of telling.
I think he thought he was going to send Kendall home, maybe.
I don't know. I think it was always Tia because I think that he felt after the hometown date, like the fact that Kendall didn't say I love you and Tia did was making him question his initial.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I think you might be right.
From Kendall. So basically what happens is he tells the women, like, this is the hardest decision I've ever had to make in my life.
And we see him fully kind of, or does he hyperventilate after?
He starts, like, rubbing his palms and, like, deep breathing. And
he finally just says, I think I need a moment, and walks out.
Yeah. And
the women just look so confused. And also at this point, they've probably been standing there for at least an hour.
Yeah.
So I, you know, understandably, they're like, can we get the show on the road?
Ari was picking out his favorite.
And then Ari comes back and says, I need some time with Kendall.
Yeah. And immediately, like, all the women are freaking out. Immediately, Tia is like, I want to know who he's deciding between. Like, is it me and Kendall?
Yes.
Is it like you and...
And she looks around and a few times she says, you know, this three makes the most sense to me. But maybe what makes sense to me isn't what makes the most sense to him.
She is really.
And I think logically she's not wrong. If you're just looking at these three women are all sure in their feelings. These three women are all sure that they would accept a proposal. Perhaps logically, those are the three women that should be in that final three.
But love. That's not how it works.
Isn't logical.
Yeah. And that's why they're not in charge and Ari is. No, that's because it's The Bachelor and he's the man. So Ari sits down with Kendall and says, you know, I need to know now if you're going to possibly be ready to be engaged at the end of this. And she kind of keeps trying to answer with a non-answer. She keeps trying to say, like, oh, I'm not ready for this to end. I want to keep exploring this. I really think I could see my husband in you, maybe. And he's saying that's not the question. Like, if I keep you, someone is going to go home who's very ready for marriage. And she still just can't say it. Like, she just is crying. She's like, I don't know what you need from me. He's being very clear about what he needs from her, but she doesn't want to say it. And
one of our listeners pointed out on Twitter that this situation is sort of a less dramatic version of what we saw go down with Rachel and Peter, but obviously did not evoke the same anger at the lead from the people of Bachelor Nation, at least on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I do think that, you know, that is a valid point. And I think just as we felt Rachel had every right to say, I need you to be ready for marriage, and Peter had every right to be like, I can't give you that, I feel the same way about this situation. Ari is not in the wrong to say, this is what I know I want at the end. Can you give that to me? And Kendall is not wrong to say, I'm trying to give you as much as I can. I want you. I want to be here. And that's as much as I can give. And at the end of the day, then, it's on the lead to make the decision about whether he wants to move forward with it. And of course, Ari's a white guy, so like everyone's a little easier on him.
A less fraught situation than the Peter thing, because everyone thought she was going to end up with Peter. And everyone
also, it's not the final two. There's a little more lag time.
Yeah, I don't think anyone thought he was going to end up with Kendall, or even still thinks that he might end up with Kendall, even though she is still here. So it feels like a little
lower
bit
stakes,
lower
maybe?
Stakes that he is insisting on this. But the weird thing is that then, after all that, he gives the roses to Becca, Lauren, and Kendall, and it's Tia going home.
And Tia, this was the most genuine sobbing breakdown that we've seen in a while. She just seems so shocked and so sad, and of course immediately does that really thing that's really painful to watch, where she just says, what did I do wrong? I don't want to feel like I'm not good enough, but I feel like I'm not good enough. And it just, it really, really broke my heart. And I just wanted her girls to surround her and hug her.
Yeah, it was a really tough goodbye. I feel like Tia, unfortunately, lost a lot of goodwill from the viewers the past couple of weeks by
The Becca
M situation. And she got like such a strong bachelorette edit, but I think she's lost a lot of support from...
Yeah, I do think that's what they were setting her up for.
Yeah.
In this. They're at least leaving her open as an option.
Yeah. Because she gets the full, you know, she has the graceful goodbye. She hugs him.
But really
him and
emotionally
says, I know
affecting.
This is hard for you, but I just need to know. And finally, she hugs him. She says, keep going with your heart. And then in the limo, she says, this is what makes me put walls up, telling someone how I feel and not feeling it in return. It's very classic bachelorette material. But who knows? Like, I've stopped trying to predict who the Bachelorette's going to be because I'm always wrong, which is, like, crazy. Like, how – it can't be that hard, and yet I'm always wrong.
I also think that they like to leave a handful of options open.
Yeah.
And obviously, as we see with Ari, they can also go back into their arsenal, and they'll leave people kind of on the back burner for years. So
they've
we know
never
that they
done
make
that with the Bachelorette, though, have they?
No,
except for the first one, obviously, because that first
wasn't
one was
quite
a while
in succession.
After. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that we've ever seen that. I wonder if they would do it because they've always, it seems like, been a little more demanding of how much their Bachelorette brings to the table in order to juice the fact that Bachelorette ratings tend to be a little lower anyway.
I wonder if they are less likely to do that because they want to always, because it airs pretty much right after, they want, it's closer and they want to capitalize on the excitement around
there's
a
no,
recent
like,
person.
Loss of momentum between, I thought everyone would have forgotten about Peter by the time the season started. Apparently I was wrong, but I've sort of forgotten about Peter.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like we're going to have a busy schedule the next couple of weeks. We're going to have winter games
tonight
and Thursday. On Sunday,
Women Tell All, they're changing up this final schedule. Usually, you know, we have Women Tell All, then a week, then overnights, then a week, then the finale. Instead, we're getting Sunday, Monday, Women Tell All, and right into the Fantasy Suite dates. And then the season's ending a week earlier than normal.
Yeah. We're exhausted.
I know. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, Monday is just too much.
It really is. My brain is just running out of steam here.
And of course, this is all happening within the 2 weeks that my book comes out. So just a little very natural plug, pre-order my book, A Girl's Guide to Join the Resistance. It's fine. No big deal. It's on Amazon. but also, yeah, I think we are a little bit bachelored out.
But we hope that you're not.
We will persevere for you.
Yes.
A lot to look forward to.
In the meantime, we're going to be taking a lot of long naps and doing face masks and just trying to stay zen and focused in the middle of all this. And we hope you're doing the same.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
All right. As always, the Bachelor hometowns are prime ground for the classic feminism fails. And this wasn't our worst offending season, but still a lot of opportunities for me to cringe at our society's norms. So, like every season, we're going to have to take issue with the idea that Ari needs the parents, the fathers especially, but just generally anyone's blessing or permission to propose to an adult woman. And all of these parents ended up deferring to their daughter's judgment, which is good, but also a reminder that this practice is completely pointless and paternalistic and outdated. And so I'm going to give that a 2.5.
And then, of course, several of the fathers make comments suggesting that they'll kill Ari if he hurts their daughter, or that Ari should be protecting their daughter with his life. Sure, cute, a bit tongue-in-cheek, but we never really see this when the genders are reversed. No one is threatening the lives of, you know, bachelorettes if they don't protect their sons with her life. It sounds ridiculous to even say. Let's just cut this practice altogether. We're going to give that 1 of 4.
And along the same lines, this trope of the daughters still being daddy's little girl, can this just die already? or at least can we see the parents on The Bachelorette weeping like, oh, you know, Graham is still our little boy and he always will be. We never see that. That's because we treat boys like adults when they turn into men, and we should do the same thing with women. I'm giving that a 3.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks, of course, to our fearless producer, Nick Offenberg.
And remember to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts this week to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, and you can find us both on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose, or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Yes, send us your questions for the live show. And thanks for listening. We will be back on Friday for our final Winter Games recap, and then on Tuesday to talk Women Tell All and Fantasy Suites.